Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Noon at the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Robb.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is your sports bros, Rop and Souk.
You guys shut up.
I'm Rop, that's Souk.
Hey, will you shut up?
Hey, shut up.
What's going on? Happy Monday. Sup?
Sided.
Sided.
Good times. Mike's over there.
With dude.
In all his youth.
He's not that young anymore.
Dead son.
Yeah, I'm about to turn 32 in June.
I know, but you're always going to be young to me.
Right. Well, right? I'm always going to be the same age behind you.
See, well, I don't
if
think
I'm
that.
70, I still think you're young. When
I don't think that's the
how
case.
How old would you be when I'm 70?
What do you know?
45.
So I'm 14 years younger than you, so I would be 56.
Yeah, young guy. Young Sparky.
See, when you're 70 or you're 75, you will not think of him as young. There comes a point where everyone's just old. You just are. No one who's 95 is looking at an 82-year-old and being like, Sonny, you're just old.
Mike, at 82, you'll be young to me. Spry 82.
You'll be dead when he's 82, but still.
Golfing. Maybe taking me with you.
You'll be 96 if I'm 82.
You never know. I may get to 96.
No, you'll be dead.
And they'll ask you what you did, and you said drank a lot of whiskey.
That's isn't always, that always the thing?
There's always some old crusty dude who's been smoking.
Hey, Grandma, how have you lived to 112? Yeah. Smoking and drinking. How do you think?
Genetics, man.
All right, Tampa Bay won their game over Green Bay. I don't know if you saw that. It was a football game yesterday.
I did indeed see that.
It's pretty good. And we will talk more about that. Also, Buffalo lost to Kansas City. About that.
And I lost a lot of money with Green Bay.
Yeah, your Super Bowl didn't really work out, did
and
it?
And Buffalo losing. No, it did not. And maybe I should have, I should have veered from it. But when you make a call at the beginning, you ride the horse. And then it bucks you off and you have a terrible weekend.
In fairness to you, I think a lot of people thought it was going to be Green Bay and Buffalo.
And then
because it's hot. They're both just red hot.
And then the coaches decided to be giant cowards.
But we forgot about Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes.
The one I feel worse about is the Kansas City one. Because the Green Bay game could have gone either way. Dude, Kansas City just, they dropped the hammer on them and Buffalo had zero answer.
Fella, you were on the wrong side of that one.
Yes, I was.
But that's okay. Guess what? You got the Super Bowl coming up.
Time to catch up, baby.
Bill's Mafia was pumping through your veins. You were like, yeah.
It was. I felt like I had been welcomed in to the Bills Mafia.
I don't think you were. You hated on the Bills for so many
years.
That
is not true. I hated on Josh Allen. I said at the start of the year that Buffalo was a Super Bowl team minus Josh Allen. Then Josh Allen turned out to be good, and I picked him to go to the Super Bowl, and then Josh Allen decided to be bad again.
So you were right all along.
Yes, I was.
Why did you pick him?
I don't know.
Idiot?
I'm an official member of the Bills Mafia. I'm just bring it. I don't have an NFL team. Now I do. Go Bills.
What you should have done, you should have had the courage before the Chiefs game to say, you know what? I'm not sold on Josh Allen. I think he's going to play like crap. And I think the Chiefs are going back to the Super Bowl.
And then your original takes would have been all vindicated. And then you would have been
right all along. I would have been back. I would have been vindicated.
You didn't have the courage to do that, though.
He looked really good this year.
We have Larry King talk in the club today in COVID news. But right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Oh, wait. Really?
Well, do it live.
Why? Don't look for porn, Dan. Porn.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Number five.
Mike, you watching the Cuse in there? Big fella.
It's like the third time I've seen them this year because every other game's been on ACC Network.
They're playing Virginia right now. College basketball still going.
Yeah, Duke sucks.
Kentucky sucks. North Carolina sucks.
It's very odd.
Hooray!
Kansas sucks.
Does Kansas suck?
Yeah, they're not great.
They do not suck.
They really aren't
that great.
They're
a top 25 team.
They are, but they're not that great. And they shouldn't be in the top 20. They really shouldn't be in the top 25. They just are because they've got, you know, Kansas across their boobies.
Understand.
Matt Stafford out. How about this report?
Well, Lions, he's not out yet.
Lions and their starting quarterback mutually agree to part ways this offseason, and Detroit is now listening to trade offers.
Yeah, the big one that's heating up is Garoppolo for Matthew Stafford in a swap straight across. But there could be up to 10 quarterbacks. You could see Aaron Rodgers. You could see Matthew Stafford. You could see Garoppolo. You could see Sam Darnold. You could see Deshaun Watson. There is going to be serious movement. We talked about this with the salary cap
falling.
There could be teams looking to make some moves here at the quarterback position. Could be a very, very interesting offseason.
Chiefs lose left tackle Eric Fisher. It is a torn Achilles. He will not play in the Super Bowl. Andy Reid also says he is not optimistic. Right tackle Mitchell Schwartz will be ready for that game either.
This is a big deal because Tampa has a really good D-line. They can rush the quarterback. And if we've seen anything that can derail the unstoppable offenses, including Kansas City's, it's like with the Chargers, when they had them down, it's teams that can rush four and get to Mahomes. And with two beat-up tackles, there's a chance here that Tampa's defensive line could end up being the MVP Tampa wins.
Are you telling me Tom Brady could win another Super Bowl?
And if
it's not out of the realm of possibility?
And if he does, it's weird. His defense will be the reason why they win if they do it.
Houston Texans need a head coach. They will conduct second interviews with two candidates presumed to be finalists, Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier and Ravens assistant head coach David Culley. They've also interviewed Jim Caldwell. And today in Seahawks OC news, they will be requesting an interview with Bills quarterbacks coach Ken Dorsey.
That Ken Dorsey. Now, their OC, who is rumored to be the hot candidate, he has said that he's just going to stick in Buffalo.
Brian Daboll.
He'll be the hot guy next year.
Hey, Doug Marrone, former Jags coach, remember him?
Yeah.
He has a new job.
He's the old line coach, right?
Alabama's offensive line coach.
Yeah. This is what you do, man. When you need to rehab your image, go to Alabama, win a national title, and get a head coaching job.
MLB players have voted down the DH for the National League and expanded playoffs. Talks between players and owners remain tense. The CBA expires in December of 2021. Now, both sides reportedly view the universal DH as a positive, but the players think that owners are using it as a bargaining chip to get expanded playoffs, so therefore they voted it down. Washington Nationals got a closer over the weekend. They landed reliever Brad Hand, 1 year, $10.5 million. And then the Yankees and Red Sox pulled off a trade, with reliever Adam Ottavino going to Boston for a player to be named later.
I don't understand why the players wouldn't want expanded playoffs.
Well, I think they do. I just think
they don't.
Oh, they don't want it?
They do not want expanded playoffs.
And I don't fully understand why
their argument, I read a little bit about it today, has something to do with like the competitiveness of the regular season would go down just because so many teams would be in it.
I just would assume that more guys, more playoff money, more chances. That surprises me.
Reports the Brooklyn Nets are in active talks to acquire Cavs big man JaVale McGee. The Nets are also showing interest in Kevin Love. What if the Nets got Love?
Yeah, that was the rumor that I was reading over the weekend. Jenny Fry was talking about that.
You want another guy that doesn't play any defense? Kevin Love.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
You're already giving up 140 points a game. Make it 160.
You would think that you would want a guy that could anchor the middle of that, but
How many coaches would, if they get Kevin Love, how many coaches would be pissed at Steve Nash? Like, Jesus, dude. Well, I've been coaching this league for 10 years. I haven't gotten half the talent you've gotten. Love, Harden, yeah. Durant, Irving.
Kyrie Irving said that Steve Nash is not their head coach. Remember, he's just he's just another voice.
By the way, after all the tumult, Blazers are still fourth in the West.
Yeah.
But they lose another starter for tonight's game against Oklahoma City as Bob Covington is out with a concussion.
Yeah, Rocco. But hopefully that'll just be a game.
Number one.
Yeah. But that's not good. So the Blazers play their second back-to-back tonight. Beat the Knicks last night, barely held on for that win.
Simons, though, with a nice performance.
And then they have Oklahoma City tonight. Also, the Clippers are going to be without Kawhi Leonard and Paul George for at least a week due to COVID protocols. They're also without Patrick Beverley, who is out with an injury. And number one, Ducks. Several bits of Ducks news. Tit for tat, says Cal.
Yes.
Oregon's Keith Hayward is headed to Cal to replace Tim DeRuiter as their defensive coordinator.
Well, Hayward obviously wanted the promotion. Didn't happen. And you know that if you want to move up the chain, having the co-defensive coordinator thing. So, yeah, you're basically just trading DeRuiter for Hayward at this point.
And no, that's a good little trade.
Yes, it is.
For Oregon.
You've got recruiters. You've got plenty of recruiters. You need a hammer D coordinator. DeRuiter, much more accomplished. So, yes.
Well, actually, you're trading Abalos and Hayward for DeRuiter, which makes it a little bit more fair.
Sure.
Hayward did work with Justin Wilcox both at Washington and USC, so he's very, very familiar. So DeRuiter to Oregon, Hayward back to Cal. Ducks running back Cyrus Habibi-Leikio has entered the transfer portal. He is leaving Oregon. And quarterback Anthony Brown announced that he will be returning to the Ducks for another season.
Well, look, they haven't settled on anything. I mean, Shuck didn't prove that he's the starter by any stretch of the imagination, but that Ty Thompson kid that's going to be the incoming freshman, they just think of him as the second coming. So,
5 stars, right?
Yeah, he's supposed to be the guy. So it's going to be a battle between Brown, Shuck, and then, well, maybe it'll be someone else, but there certainly seems to be a lot of talk that people think that Ty Thompson could be the guy sooner than later.
The Hot 5 is refreshed by Coors Light. Live sports are back and always better with an ice-cold Coors Light. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. All right, let's get back to championship weekend. We'll talk about the Mickens slide. Oh, you know what we need to talk about is that late PI. I want your thoughts on that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the hold heard around the world.
Yeah, and what about the future of Aaron Rodgers? We'll get to all that next. 518 on The Fan.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, well, we have already unpacked a lot of Buffalo Kansas City talk, including idiot Sean McDermott. We've talked about Matt LaFleur kicking the field goal. If you miss any of our show, you can go back and podcast it. 1080thefan.com houses those, or, you know, like Apple and all that crap.
You can find it anywhere. And by the way, please refer to it as its appropriate name, the most cowardly field goal in the history of field goals.
Yeah, I don't think it was, but
find me a more cowardly one.
Matt LaFleur's new name is Matt LaCoward.
Yes, 100%.
Well, I would have to go back and research all the old why did they kick a field goal conversations that we've had over the years. And I feel like we have this every year. But that one was pretty inexplicable, considering you're taking the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands and putting it into Tom Brady's. At any rate.
And you still need a touchdown to win the game.
You know, it was a weird play on that. In that game that doesn't get talked about because Tampa won. What the hell was that guy doing sliding down before the 2-minute warning?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I don't know.
What was that?
You just
want to talk about inexplicable plays.
You just gave him a free timeout, and they said that they probably discussed that on the sidelines. Maybe, like, my guess is he thought, oh, I'll run a little bit, I'll get past the 2-minute, then slide down because you don't want to cause a fumble
that
or something.
That has to be it.
Yeah, you slid down at, like, 2:03 or whatever it was. He gave him an extra timeout.
That can be so huge. Yeah. A 2-minute warning with 3 timeouts is a big deal. At any rate, didn't come back to bite him. Now, what do you think about the late PI call?
So at the time, I thought it was kind of a cheesy call because they were letting them go most of the game. Like, there was certainly some rough play. In fact,
there wasn't one pass interference call before that, right?
That I don't remember.
There weren't many penalties.
Now, the interception on who was it? The DB that had one. It was a great play. He had Lazar by the shoulder pad and kind of stepped in front of him. It was a great pick, but that was the same sort of thing. He had him by the, didn't have him by the shirt, but he had him by the shoulder and certainly was holding him, and that didn't get called. So
there were six penalties the whole game.
Yeah, they were letting him go.
It was nice to watch.
And so I did not like in that moment that was called from the distance, and I certainly didn't like how late it was. If you got to sit there and internally debate whether that's a flag, you put that crap in your pocket. Now, to be fair, after the fact, I saw a different angle that I never saw on the replay on the game, and I saw a still shot of it. Boy, he had his undershirt.
Yeah,
and it was
significant.
It was significant. So I can see
it was pass interference.
If you're the back judge, it was holding, in my opinion, not pass interference, but still, it was first down either way. If you're the back judge and you see that, I mean, it was like a good solid foot of a material that was being pulled out. When I saw that, I was like, okay, if you're the back judge there, because all you see is that.
So that was late.
It was late.
Which was, I hate that so much when you're just sitting there and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're like, oh, they're not going to call. And then the flag comes in like 10 seconds later.
Yep.
My God, get the flag out. Yep. But
wasn't Joe Buck also kind of like, and there is a flag on the play.
Yep.
Like he knew it was coming.
I just feel like that's one of those that if he didn't call it, we'd look back at that replay and go, man, what a miss. So ultimately they got it right.
Sure.
Because like you said, that everybody saw it. We never saw that on that first angle didn't really show it. You couldn't really see that.
No.
But the second one you could, and he was like, oh, so that is holding or passing, whatever you want to call it.
It's a first down either way.
That is a penalty. So yeah. Even though it came in late, there wasn't much controversy to it.
It's just frustrating that it was against the play of the game the entire time.
Right.
Like you've been letting them play the entire game. There have been obvious calls that they just let go, holding on the offensive line or even other plays in the secondary that were pass interferences. So why do it there? On one of the more important plays of the game, why call it
that? And that's what I'm saying. Like, I did not, even when I saw the replay, I didn't think it was warranted until I saw it on Twitter. And it was a still shot and then the video. And I'm telling you, from that distance, because you remember the back judge is, you know, he's 15, 20 yards away from that thing. And all he saw was the undershirt being tugged. And you can go find it, but find the still shot of it. I mean, he's got it pulled out a good solid foot. And that's when you see it like that, there's just certain things that are going to trigger it.
Why did it take so long for him to throw the damn flag?
I don't know. Maybe he was trying to reach for it. He couldn't find it. I don't know. Maybe he was like, boy, do I really call that? But it's just when you get a tug like that on a, you know, and you see it, it's the visual of it. Had that been the jersey, I'll bet you that doesn't get called because the jersey doesn't stretch like that, which is probably why the interception didn't get called because he kind of had it by the shoulder almost. I'm telling you, there's sometimes it's a visual thing.
But in that same replay, you see the shoulder pad being pulled completely sideways.
It's just
like it wasn't a temporary grab. It was a pull.
And it should have been called. But I'm just telling you, there are things, same thing as an offensive lineman with holding calls. When you see something alarming like that, that clearly looks out of the norm, that's when funky things happen. In fact, as an old lineman, a lot of times you will try to get your gloves to match up with the jersey color they have because you want all that stuff blending in. You don't want anything that is standing out that catches an official's eye. And when you pull an undershirt out for a foot, foot and a half, you're going to get it called.
Well, it's a big penalty. And, you know, you shouldn't have been in that spot in the first place. You know, if you don't want that kind of stuff to happen.
Yeah.
You know, they had one of the most inexplicable plays of that game that is not being talked about is the Scotty Miller touchdown at the end of that.
Oh, my God.
How do you let that happen?
It's unbelievable to me.
Kevin King had the worst game of all time. He was just torched.
Dude, that's as bad as the freaking Raiders beating the Jets, the Greg Williams thing.
It's worse than the Greg Williams thing.
Didn't that get Greg Williams fired?
Absolutely. That is inexcusable. There's no timeouts left. No timeouts, right? And there was, I think, 6 to 8 seconds, if I remember correctly. There was less than 10 seconds.
And weren't they not going to, wasn't that fourth down?
No.
Wasn't that the one where they were not going to go for it and then they came back out on the field and decided to go for it? I think it was.
Okay, so maybe it was.
I think that it looked like they were just going to try to draw him off sides, but then they were like, no, Romo, or whoever's calling the game, Aikman was like, no, they're going to run a play here. Yeah. And that's the one that they threw over the top to Miller.
Yeah, so you're right. It was fourth down. But all you had to do, the only thing you had to do was prevent a touchdown or a cheap first down to the sideline. Anything thrown in the field of play, and it's over. And you are in, you're in man coverage. You're in a single high safety. And then if you're Kevin King, my God, what are you doing looking back at the quarterback?
He put his arm out as if he was going to find him, but he was like half a yard away.
You know you're out on an island, which, by the way, that's the fastest player on their team. I understand he's a little white guy. He's their fastest wide receiver. And you let him run by you? That is one of the more inexcusable plays I have ever seen in my entire life.
Well, so again, late penalty hurts you, and that's frustrating, but it's stuff like that. They didn't play well enough.
Nope.
Like Tampa, you got to give them credit, man. Tampa, I thought against New Orleans, was the beneficiary of four big turnovers. I thought Tampa was not as sharp in New Orleans as they were in Green Bay. Tampa just didn't screw it up this time.
Yep.
And Green Bay did. It still came down to literally like that play. Like if that Scotty Miller play doesn't happen, don't you think Green Bay probably wins the game?
Sure.
I mean, it was 28-10, and I'm texting with my friends like, who wants to take Green Bay on the money line right now?
Yeah.
On the live money line.
You knew they were coming back.
And they scored instantly two touchdowns to make it a game. So, Green Bay.
That before and after halftime, the scores for the Tampa really killed them, though.
That was a big one.
Both of them scored right before halftime and then immediately after halftime.
Well, the fumble.
Right.
That fumble was enormous. So, again, pick whatever play you want. There were like five of them where Green Bay can only look in the mirror and say, we screwed this up. That is not to take anything away from Tampa. I thought Tampa's defense was really good against Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay. But at the same time, like I get a little annoyed. Like I was watching the post game and JB was on there and he's like, oh, he comes back from break and he's like, despite three interceptions, was Tom Brady phenomenal or what?
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there going, you know what, man? The defense won them that game. Yep. So the ball bounced their way again in a key spot. They had a couple big plays. Tom Brady was good, but he did throw three interceptions. He almost threw five. I don't know how closely you were watching. A couple of those deflections could have easily gone the other way.
Yep.
So,
although the
I love Brady, but Tampa Bay, to finish my point, I just want to reiterate that all the talk is about Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady could have gone to any team and they're suddenly in the Super Bowl. No, Tampa Bay, this is why he chose Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
He's got a ton of weapons around him and their defense, and it's gotten better.
Secondary has gotten better. Their run defense has been good the whole year.
They're really, really good. And I was looking at his options. New England was kind of trying to get him back half-heartedly, right?
Yep.
The only other teams that offered him, at least reportedly, were the Titans and the Chargers to go with Tampa. No wonder he chose Tampa.
Yeah.
And Titans is interesting, had he gone there, but he probably chose the Florida taxes and the warm weather.
They re-signed Tannehill. So basically they chose, I don't know if how much that went into it, like, beforehand, but they chose Tannehill. They gave Tannehill the extension. So that eliminated it right there.
So I'm just saying, look, this Tampa team is good all around all over the field. I don't think their secondary is going to be able to stop Kansas City, which is what did him in the first time. And that's why I think Kansas City is going to win another Super Bowl. So I'm taking nothing away from Tampa, but Green Bay, man, they just got to be, they shot themselves in the foot.
Yep.
Is there ever a thought, Suk, from a coach when a player on defense is just having one of those? Kevin King was just awful.
Yep.
Yesterday. And every single touchdown, it felt like it was King making a mistake.
And he was a questionable guy. So, I mean, he was battling. I don't remember what injury was, but he was beat up all week.
Do you just take him off the field at a certain point and be like, look, you're one of our better secondary guys, but you are just giving up the game?
I'm sure that consideration goes out there. I don't know what kind of depth they have. I don't know what you have behind it. But yes, that is one of those games. It's never won and lost on one guy. And I think the call is to blame as much as anything. I mean, that's just that you cannot. By the way, it was fourth and four was they got the first down and
they
then
threw
it, was,
it out and, to Godwin.
And then it was first down, the Scotty Miller play. Because that was the one. It was first down and you were like, okay, they're going to kick a field goal here. And they ran another play and you're like, what? Why aren't they trying to kick the field goal? And then they threw over the top. Kevin King is as responsible for that loss as any one player. he played a horrific.
And was he okay? Is this something where you knew this was a weakness for Green Bay, or has he been really good?
No, he's been good.
All right,
Their secondary has been really good.
What are you going to do about that? Here's the real quick, and we'll get to this next. The future of Aaron Rodgers, but these are the points allowed by Green Bay in Aaron Rodgers' playoff losses.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's 11-9 in his career in the playoffs. In the nine losses, they've given up 31, 37, 44, 26, 28, 23, 45, 37, and 51.
Not good.
It's not all Aaron Rodgers.
No. No, it is not.
So what is his future? We'll get to that next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, Aaron Rodgers now hinting that his future is uncertain in Green Bay. I don't know if that's him just, you know, being emotional after a loss, or, you know, if it was the fact that they took the ball out of his hands, or maybe he and LaFleur have, you know, kind of butted. I don't know. I don't know. Is it the Jordan Love draft pick? You know, I don't know.
I think there's been a lot. Now, the last 2 years, obviously, they've managed to work it out because they're, what, 26-6 in the regular season? Home field throughout the playoffs this year. So, I mean, clearly it's not like it's busted or anything.
Well, and he was so much better this year than last year.
Yeah, he had a huge bounce back, right? I mean, he was MVP.
He was so good.
So there, you know, this talk is if there's, you know, no way that this could go on. Remember, these are very competitive people. That is an absolute heartbreaking, soul-crushing loss. If you're Aaron Rodgers, you know you've been waiting this whole time to get an NFC title game in Lambeau, and the ball got taken out of your hands at the end. And I'm sure that is a bit of a raw nerve. Things can calm down and we can go back to hopefully everything being fine in Green Bay. But also, this may be the final straw. We don't know. We don't know how this is going to go as you move on. I do think if you're Aaron Rodgers and you look around at what the weapons that are given to Kansas City, and then they go out and you know, they sign Le'Veon Bell, and they draft Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and they're drafting these young receivers seemingly every single year that are working out. They're committing long-term money to Kelce and to Hill. They're building a better roster. You see Tampa Bay go out and draft offensive players. You see them going out and spending money in the free agent market on Leonard Fournette. You see them going out and getting a Rob Gronkowski and bringing him in. So you see these other teams and the commitment they are seemingly making to their offenses. And if you're Aaron Rodgers and you're sitting around being like, what the hell, man, I can see where this could be a final straw. And he just says, you know what? I'm ready for a different change. You guys think you have the future in Jordan Love. Great. Let's just mutually part ways. Kind of like what happened with Matthew Stafford and in Detroit. Now, his contract is, if I'm remembering correctly, they said when he signed his contract, it was basically untradeable because
Stafford or
Rodgers? No, Aaron Rodgers. And that even if you traded him, it would be such a colossal hit to Green Bay. So I don't know if I'm mistaken on that, but that seems to be my recollection. I'll have to look it up. So there may be more to this than just Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to be there. Green Bay may not be able to afford to get rid of him, even if they do trade him.
Even if they do trade?
Well, like even if they said, okay, you don't want to be here. Says, we don't want you here. Let's go ahead and trade you. The situation may be where they financially can't do it.
Like literally can't, or just don't want to?
Well, you're talking about, if I'll look it up, but I seem to remember that whether they traded him or not, it would be like a $30 million dead cap hit. And just because someone's disgruntled, they are not going to take that cap hit just to try to appease someone.
Yeah, I guess so, except that what if Aaron Rodgers goes nuclear and says, I'm not playing?
Well, then you make him retire.
Yeah, okay. And then you save the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think Bill Belichick thinks about old Tom Brady in another Super Bowl?
I don't know.
I can't even imagine.
I think that... Seriously,
what do you think he thinks?
I'm willing to guess that he is happy for him, but at the same time, this has to sting, right? When you break up, you never want the spouse to end up with someone better than you, right? And at least in this short term, you know, they both saw each other at a bar awkwardly a couple months afterwards, and New England was with a 4, and Tom Brady is with an 11. So I'm sure that stings a little bit. I'm sure there's still a lot of mutual respect and he's happy for Tom, but you're still talking about two of the most competitive people. This can't feel good.
You think that home field advantage is going to be a thing for this Super Bowl?
Nah. No, I mean, I guess there's some, you know, I mean, you're familiar with it and, you know, you get to sleep in your own bed and, but the largely the distraction of the Super Bowl, there won't be the parties, you know, that normally are associated with that. There's not going to be this massive crowd. And even if it was a massive crowd, it wouldn't all be Tampa Bay fans. I think this is, I'm sure there's a comfort level that they feel good being there, but does it swing the game? I don't believe so.
Yeah. There were fans at, you know, in the stadiums for these playoff games.
Yeah. Kansas City seemed like it was a pretty raucous environment.
Yeah, and Buffalo was too. They were saying when they were playing Baltimore, a couple of the players were saying that it was a factor. Like, it doesn't seem it on TV because, well, it's just not full. So we just assume because it's not full, it's not that loud.
Yeah.
But I guess it was. Like, Green Bay and Kansas City and Buffalo, several players commented that it was like, man, it was not easy with, like, the home field advantage is kind of back.
Yeah.
But in Tampa, it's a different crowd because it's not all going to be Bucs fans.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think, look, Kansas City is going to be the favorite. Most people think Kansas City, and if they play the way they did against Buffalo, Tampa Bay is not beating them. But Tampa's got a shot at this thing, and to me, all this talk about Tom Brady, and God, it's going to get nauseating. If they win, it will not be because of Tom Brady. It just won't. That offense is not going to get in a shootout and beat Kansas City. Not going to happen. If they beat Kansas City, it will be because Kansas City has offensive line issues, and that Eric Fisher injury is bigger than anyone wants to talk about. And it doesn't look like Mitchell Schwartz is going to play. So you're going to be playing with two backup offensive linemen. One of your best guards already opted out of the year, but they've been playing with him, you know, without him all year long. But you have two backup tackles against one of probably the three best defensive lines in the NFL. And you saw what JPP and Shaq Barrett were able to do to Buffalo and constantly harass him. And if you look at anyone that gives Kansas City problems, it's anyone that gives good quarterbacks problems, period. But like when the Chargers were able to have him on the ropes, it was because they could rush for and play coverage. And that's the one thing that I think, if I'm a Kansas City fan, makes me nervous, is the Tampa Bay secondary is playing better. It's the best run defense in the NFL. And if they can rush for and get pressure on Patrick Mahomes and make the plays that Buffalo couldn't. Remember, Buffalo was in that game and they had six or seven chances to get Mahomes behind the line. And he just was that much better. He was a little elusive and he just kept making those huge, huge throws while under pressure. Well, if they can get to him, they can manage to keep him down. And then Tampa's offense should be able to put up some points. That will be the difference in this game if Tampa can win. So for all the talk of Tom Brady, to me, the most important aspect of this game is that revamped, injury-plagued O-line versus that unit from Tampa Bay.
They're not beating Kansas City.
I don't think so either, but...
And the way I would retort what you just... That's the
great equalizer.
What you just said was Mahomes does that to everybody. You were talking about Buffalo almost getting to him. Mahomes does that to everybody. Everybody almost gets to him a few times, and what happens?
Yeah, he makes plays. He was amazing under some of those this plays is why they're he so made tough. Against Buffalo were unfair.
Well, that's why they're so tough, is that when all else, their offense and their system is so good and so difficult to defend, and all the misdirection and all the stuff that Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy do. And then, oh, by the way, if all else fails, Patrick Mahomes just slides over 2 yards and Tyreek Hill, good luck keeping up with Tyreek Hill when he's just improvising, or with Travis Kelce. Like, they just have mismatches all over the place.
Yep.
So I just don't think, and Tampa's secondary is now beat up. Winfield didn't play, or Wingfield, or whatever his name is. The first time they played, they gave up like 456 yards passing.
Yep.
So nobody stops Kansas City. They're too good, and I don't think Tampa will be either. But now, that's not to say Kansas City doesn't turn it over or shoot themselves in the foot or only kick field goals when they should get touchdowns, which they've been prone to do. Chiefs will let you hang around. They've done it all year. But man, the Niners played a great game. The Niners have a better defense than Tampa.
For three quarters,
and
they
played
were great.
A great game last year, and Kansas City dropped 21 on them in the fourth.
But remember, and this is why I said, they had an opportunity. They were one Jimmy Garoppolo overthrow from winning that game. And I think if you're Tampa Bay, that's what you're hoping for, is to drag Kansas City into deep water and give yourself a chance to make a play in the fourth quarter. And just like when New England's offense was unstoppable in the Super Bowl, they were undefeated and their offense was carving people up with Randy Moss and everything. That game was not won by Eli Manning. It was won by Umanyora and Justin Tuck and those cats up front. That is how Tampa beats Kansas City, but they
yeah,
won't.
Good luck.
They won't.
I've already got my bet in on Chiefs.
Me too. Yeah.
I didn't wait.
Yeah. Kansas City.
They're too good.
And they'll fall behind by 10 early, and yeah. then they'll...
Oh, they will.
The second quarter blitz will be on.
There will be
thanks for coming.
A point in that game where you'd be like, God, freaking Chiefs.
Yep.
And then you'd be like, oh, yeah, Chiefs. I love the Chiefs.
Someone's saying, don't forget Sue has a chance to lay a dirty hit on Holmes, knocking him out. Well, they...
Wait, what?
Pat, you know, and Dominican Sue maybe getting a shot on Pat Mahomes.
Oh, wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah.
All right. That is enough football for one day.
I'm trying to, seriously, real quick though.
Is not enough football for one day. Back to you.
Think about this though, right? If you're a D lineman, you're in Dominican Sue, and after just as dirty as it can be, right? After the play, you just go shillelagh. Pat Mahomes, first quarter. You're thrown out of the game. You win a Super Bowl.
Weak.
It would be the weakest sauce ever, and yet
weak.
It would work. It would.
It'd
be the equivalent of sending the guy off the NBA bench to just start a fight with the other team's best player.
Well, they do that in hockey, don't they?
Nah.
They don't?
No.
I thought they had like goons and crap, and they throw them in there and they start fights.
They never go. You don't. It's just.
You never go at the best player.
Never go at the best
player. See, there's code.
Yes, there is.
Up next, trolling another franchise with your shoe. 550 on the Fan.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, more hot, sexy football talk tomorrow.
All right.
Yeah, because we have another show tomorrow.
By the way, I was looking it up and...
Nope, more hot football talk coming right now.
It's right now.
The ball is back to you.
The Rodgers contract is almost untradeable this year. It is. If they trade him, you're still talking about almost $31 million. in dead money. If you're willing to wait until after June 1st, which would be really late, but I'm sure teams would be willing to wait on Aaron Rodgers, although it'd be really weird because you're it's after June 1st, the draft's over, you're in the middle of OTAs, all that stuff, and you still know your quarterback's going to be. But if you did it then, you could split that into 2 years, but you're still talking about $17 million in dead money. So getting rid of Aaron Rodgers, the only thing that you could do is if you waited till after June 1st, and if you did go with Jordan Love, who by all accounts is terrible, his cap hit is so small, you could probably get away with that. But you really couldn't bring someone else in, like do a swap Aaron Rodgers for another high-priced quarterback and then absorb that cap hit, especially with the cap going down $22 million. So all this talk of Aaron Rodgers getting traded somewhere, the numbers would indicate then unless you're willing to roll with Jordan Love or another just bare bones, super cheap option, it's just really not financially feasible for the Packers to do this.
All right. Last thing I wanted to corkscrew in here is that the Blazers play Oklahoma City tonight.
Yes.
And Covington is out. So you now have, you could say you have three starters are out.
Yes.
To be safe. If you want to call Zach Collins a starter, but he probably wouldn't be a starter if Covington's a starter. So it's like,
how about this?
Potato,
four
potato.
Of your top six players
are out. I guess that is true. Lillard and maybe Trent.
What? You mean Lillard and Trent?
Well, four of top six. Are you putting Zach Collins better than?
Oh, well, that's true.
Are you putting him sixth?
I was putting him as a starter and Rocco as the.
Yeah, I don't think you could say four of the top six. Look, they're missing three starters
and another guy. Another guy who we were told at one point was a foundational block of this team.
And he's white. Wait, why did I say that?
I don't know.
Well, I wanted to get this in here because they're playing Oklahoma City tonight. Well, Dame's new sevens are coming out.
Yes.
The design, it's a new shoe. And it's in blue, black, and orange, which are the Thunder colors. And Lillard's stats from the night that he eliminated Oklahoma City with that big shot, that bad shot that Paul George said was a bad shot.
The wave goodbye shot.
The stats from that night are printed under the tongue of the shoe. 50 points, 7 boards, 6 assists. Total troll job.
In Oklahoma City's colors. That's brilliant.
Isn't that great?
I love it.
I love that too.
Now Dame is saying that that's not what he's
doing. Oh, please.
But it's 100% what you're doing.
Come on. At least own it. Come on, Dame. I didn't know he said that.
Yeah, he said it wasn't about trolling them.
Well, it may be not. Well, okay.
It's trolling them.
It's totally trolling them, and it's fantastic.
And I'd like to believe that it's his idea.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Well, anyway.
Some people are trying to take a... And maybe this is why Lillard's kind of distancing. Some people, the haters,
God.
They're taking shots saying that it's lame to celebrate what amounts to a first-round victory.
Well, okay, a little bit. But still, it was more about the way it happened. That was an epic night.
Yes.
It was the wave and the big shot.
And it ended that team. Remember Paul George afterwards? Then he wanted out of Oklahoma City. It killed
everyone
that
hated
team.
That team. They had Westbrook and Paul George. I mean, come on.
Look, that's an amazing troll job. Whether it's his idea, Adidas' idea, whoever signed off on it, I think that's brilliant.
We need more of that in sports.
I can't wear his shoes because I'm a 42-year-old white guy, but that's an amazing troll job.
Although you put those on, you'd be like, oh, Oklahoma City guy?
No.
No, actually.
These are the Lillards.
Opposite.
Yes.
I'd like you to look under the tongue and read that to me, please. Damian Lillard had 50. All right. Hey, Larry King died over the weekend. Did you see that?
We were just talking about this, about if you had a celebrity death pool, put Larry King in it.
You killed him.
Well, I don't want to do that.
Well, you already did.
Larry King did tell me to F off, so I've got that.
We start with hot Larry King talk in the club next on The Fan.